suffer. We don't know the white folks' law. They say they don't pay you when they hurt you. The court say they got to pay you the money, but they ain't done it. Nevers said. Polly very mad. He say the deputy kill his baby brother, then a train killed David. He want to do something. But I ain't hold no malice. The Bible say not. Polly say in Africa's soil, it ain't like in the America. He ain't been in the Africa, you understand me, but he hear what we tell him, and he think that better than where he at. Me and his mama try to talk to him and make him satisfied, but he don't want hear nothing. He say when he a boy, they, the American Negro children, fight him and say he a savage. When he get a man, they cheat him. The train hurt his papa and don't pay him. His brothers get it killed. He don't laugh no more. Well, after a while, you understand me, one day he say he go catch some fish. Somebody see him go towards the 12-mile creek. Lord, Lord. They never come back. There was a muted, mournful pause, in which I could do nothing but wait with my eyes in the chinaberry tree, lest I appear indecently intrusive. Finally, he came back to me. Excuse me. I can't help it, I cried. A lonesome for my boy. Cudjo know they don't do in the American soil like they do cross the water. But I can't help that. My boy gone. He ain't in the house, and he ain't on the hill with his mama. We both miss him. I don't know. Maybe they kill my boy. It a hidden mystery. So many the folks, they hate my boy 'cause he like his brothers. They don't let nobody abuse them like they dogs. Maybe he in the Africa soil, like somebody say. Poor Cudjo lonesome for him. But Cudjo don't know. I try be very nice to Celie. She the mama, you understand me, and therefore you know she grieves so hard about her children. I always try please her, you understand me, but when we ain't got but two our children with us, I can't stand see her look so like she won't cry all the time. We ain't got but one child in the house with us, 'cause Alec, the oldest one, you understand me, he married and live with his wife. We build him a house right in the yard, just like in the Africa soil. Look like we ain't crying, or we ain't through crying. End of November, our Jimmy come home and sit round like he don't feel good, so I asked him, "Son, you getting sick? I don't want you running to work when you don't feel good." He say, "Papa, tain't nothing wrong with me. I don't feel so good." But the next day, he come home sick and we put him into bed. I do all I can and his mama stay up with him all night long. We get it the doctor and do what he say, but our boy die. Oh, Lord, I good to my children. I want they company. But look at like they lonesome for one another. So they hurry go sleep together in the graveyard. He died holding my hand. When we get it back from the funeral, tain't nobody in the house but me and Celie. The house was full, but now it empty. We old folks now, we know we ain't gonna have no more children. We so lonesome. But we know we can't get it back to dead. When they spit goes from their mouth, it don't come back. When the earth eats, it don't give back. So we try to keep one another company and be happy. I still sexton at a church. It it growing to be a big church now. We call it the Old Landmark Baptist Church, because it's the first one in Africa Town. They done build more Baptist churches now, but ours, it the first. My wife, she helped me all she can. She don't let me strain myself, so I hurt at the side where the train hit me. One day we plant, the next day we reap, so we go on. Before I left, I had Kuzula's permission to photograph him, but he forbade my coming back within 3 days. A cow had broken in his fence and was eating his potato vines. It was on a hot Saturday afternoon that I came to photograph Kuzula. I'm glad you taking my picture. I won't see how I look. Once long time ago, somebody come take my picture, but they never give me one. You give me one. I agreed. He went inside to dress for the picture. When he came out, I saw that he had put on his best suit, but removed his shoes. I want to look like I in Africa, 'cause that where I want to be, he explained. He also asked to be photographed in the cemetery, among the graves of his family. Chapter 12. Alone. One night, Celia wake up in the night and say, Kudja, wake up. I dream about our children. Look like they cold. I tell her she think too much. Go back to sleep. It hurt in me, 'cause it a cold night in November in the 1908, and I remember how Celia used to visit the children when they was little, to see they got plenty quilts, so they keep warm, you understand me. The next day, she said, Kudja, come on, lest we go see our children's grave. So I say yes, but I try not take her, 'cause I afraid she worry about them. So I go in the church and I make it like a busy, so she forget it the graveyard. When I come out to church, I don't see her nowhere, so I look across the hill and I see her in a family lot. I see Celia going from one her children grieve to the other, like she covered him up with more quilts. The next week my wife left me. Kudja don't know. She ain't been sick, but she died. She don't want to leave me. She cry 'cause she don't want me be lonesome. But she leave me and go where her children. Oh, Lord. Lord. The wife, she the eyes to the man's soul. How can I see now when I ain't got it no eyes no more? The next month, my Alec, he died. Then I just like I come from the African soil. I got nobody but the daughter-in-law Mary and the grandchild. I tell you, she my son's wife, so she stay in the compound and she take the land when I go with Celia and our children. Old Charlie, he the oldest one, come from the African soil. One Sunday after my wife left me, he come with all the others to come across the water and say, Uncle Kudja, make us a parable. Well, then I say, you see old Charlie there? Suppose he stop here on the way to church. He got the parasol 'cause he think it gonna rain when he leave the house. But he look at the sky and sighed, it ain't gonna rain, so he set it there by the door and go on to church. After the preaching, he go on home, 'cause he think the parasol at Kudja house, it's safe. He say, I get it nessa time I go that way. When he come home, he say to one the children, go to Kudja house and tell him I say sending me my parasol. The parasol, it pretty. I like it keep that one. But I asked them all, is it right to keep the parasol? They all say, no, it belong to Charlie. Well, I say, my wife, she belong to God. He left her by my door. I appreciate my countrymen, they come see me when they know I'm lonely. Another time they come to me and say, Uncle Kudja, make us another parable. I bowed my head in my hands. Then I lifted up again. Footnote. This is a characteristic gesture when he begins a story. End of footnote.
Then I talk. I don't know. Me and my wife, we been riding. I think we go to Mount Vernon. The conductor go to her and say, "Oh, lady, where you going to get off?" She say, "Plateau." I look at her. I say, "How you say you going to get off at Plateau? I thought you going to Mount Vernon with me." She shake her head. She say, "I don't know. I just know I get off at Plateau. I don't want to leave you, but I got to get off at Plateau." The conductor blow once. He blow twice. And my wife, she say, "Goodbye, cudgel. I hate to leave you." But she get off at Plateau. The conductor come to me and ask the old man, "Where you gonna get off?" I say, "Mount Vernon." I traveling yet. When I get to Mount Vernon, I no talk to you no more.
I had spent 2 months with Kazula, who was called Kajo, trying to find the answers to my questions. Some days we ate great quantities of clingstone peaches and talked. Sometimes we ate watermelon and talked. Once it was a huge mess of steamed crabs. Sometimes we just ate. Sometimes we just talked. At other times, neither was possible. He just chased me away. He wanted to work in his garden or fix his fences. He couldn't be bothered. The present was too urgent to let the past intrude. But on the whole, he was glad to see me, and we became warm friends. At the end, the bond had become strong enough for him to wish to follow me to New York. It was a very sad morning in October when I said the final goodbye, and looked back the last time at the lonely figure that stood on the edge of the cliff that fronts the highway. He had come out to the front of his place that overhangs the Cochrane Highway that leads to the bridge of that name. He wanted to see the last of me. He had saved 2 peaches, the last he had found on his tree, for me. When I crossed the bridge, I know he went back to his porch, to his house full of thoughts, to his memories of fat girls with ringing golden bracelets, his drums that speak the minds of men, to palm nut cakes and bull roarers, to his parables. I am sure that he does not fear death. In spite of his long Christian fellowship, he is too deeply a pagan to fear death. But he is full of trembling awe before the altar of the past.
Appendix. Takoi, or Atako, children's game. A memory test game played by 2 players. One player, A, the tester, squats facing the diagram which is drawn on the ground. The other player, whose memory is to be tested, squats with his back to the figure. A grain of corn is placed in each of the 3 circles between the lines. Each of the lines, 1, 2, 3, have a name. Number 1, Akinjo Makini. Number 2, Abaja Lefon. Number 3, Apun Dakre Admeje. A points at line 1 at W, and B says, Akinja Makini. A points to line 2, and B says, Abaja Lefon. A goes on to line 3, and B says, Apun Dakre Admeje. Then A points to circle 1 and B says, corn. A removes the grain of corn from the circle and goes back to line 1 at W. B recites the name again. A goes to line 2 and 3 as before, then to circle 1. B says, no corn. Then A points to circle 2 and B says, corn. A removes the corn from circle 2 and returns to line 1, W, 2, and 3, and B gives the names as before. Then A goes to circle 1, and B says no corn. To circle 2, and B says, no corn, to circle 3, and B says, corn. The corn is removed from circle 3, and A returns to line 1 at W, and goes through the 3 lines and circles as before. Of course, if B remembers that there is no corn in any of the 3 circles, A then points to line 1 at X, and B says, Akinjo Makini. And A goes on to lines 2 and 3, and then on to circle 1 between X and Y, and B says, corn. A removes the corn and returns to line at W and goes through the empty circles to lines at X and the empty circle. B says, no corn, and A goes on to the next circle where B says, corn. The corn is removed, then back to line 1 at W, and the game keeps up until the 12 circles have been emptied of corn, if B's memory is good enough. Another game seems to be akin to both billiards and bowling. 3 balls are racked up, and the player stands off and knocks them down with 7 balls in his hand. The top ball of the 3 must be hit last with the 7th thrown ball. Stories Kosula told me. There are no windows in Kosula's house. It was a cold day in December and the door was closed. The little light came from the pine knots in the fireplace. It is crude, but suits his needs very well indeed. There are 2 pieces of iron slanting slightly upward in each inside wall of the fireplace. It is an African idea, transplanted to America. They are placed there to support the racks for drying fish. Kosula smokes a great deal and taps his pipe quite often. All of his pipes have tops that he has made himself to keep the fire from falling out as he works. The pipe lids are just another of the evidences of the primitive, the self-reliance of the people who live outside the influence of machinery. There is something in the iron pot bubbling away among the coals. We eat some of the stew and find it delicious. It is a sort of stew of all flesh, shredded in some way. Kosula lights his pipe again. You want me to tell you story about Afriki? I done forget all that. I been in America so the 69 year last August. It been so long I have anybody talk with, I forget. You don't be mad with Uncle Cudjo if he forget, baby. I wouldn't hurt your feeling for nothing in this world. I assure him that I can never be angry with him, no matter if he never remembers a word, but praying strongly within that he remembers. We sit for a long time in silence. I tell him a few stories after giving him a chance to think, and he is delighted. Finally, he turns eagerly towards me, his face alight. McGwine, tell you this a story. 3 men, you understand me, they agree they ain't gonna tell one on the other. One day these 3 men, they say, we ain't got no meat, lest we go in the woods and find a cow and divide it up. They hunt till they find a fat one, and they kill it. They all get round it. One say, I want a hind leg. Other say, I want a hind leg. Third one say, I want a hind leg. A beaming face is turned to me to see if I get the point that 3 men can't get a hind leg off of 1 cow. He is very happy that I appreciate the dilemma in the tale. They gin fight and fight. One say, I kill you. Very expressive gesture of conflict. Other say, I kill you. Very hearty laughter. The struggling gestures continue. They fight till they come to the highway, and the officer see them fighting, you understand me? And he say, looky here, what y'all fighting about? One of the men, he say, if you don't fool me, I won't fool you. He asked the other, he say, if you don't fool me, I won't fool you. The third man, he say the same thing. So the officer, He go to the king and say, I found 3 men, they fight. But when I asked them what for they fight, they all say, if you don't fool me, I won't fool you. The king summons them to appear before him, and he say, what's the matter, you 3 men? They all say same thing again, hearty chuckling. Then the king, he say, something they do, they don't want to tell. They is men of strong friendship. Then he give them 10 coats, 10 shoes, 10 of everything, and sent them off. They went back and vied the cow equal. Mirthy tears ran down the cheeks of Kozula, and he shook with chuckles long after the tale was finished. But he could not be persuaded to tell another that day. You come again Tuesday next week, and I tell you something if I think. But Uncle Cudjo getting old. I've been in the murky soil since 1859, I forgets. On the Tuesday after the New Year, I found Cudjo in a backward-looking mood. He was with his departed family in the land to the west. He talked about his boys. He grew tearful over his wife. I'm so lonely. I lost my wife to 15 November 1908. We've been together a long time. I married her Christmas Day, 1865. She a good wife to me. There was a long, feeling silence. Then he turned on me and spoke. Oh, Charlie, he the oldest one come from Africa. Come one Sunday, after my wife left me, and say, Uncle Cudjo, make us a parable. Then I asked him, how many limbs God give the body so it can be active? They say 6, 2 arms, 2 feet, 2 eyes. I say they cut off the feet, he got hands to fend himself. They cut off the hands, he wiggle out the way when he see danger come. But when he lose the eye, then he can't see nothing come upon him. He finish. My boys is my feet. My daughter is my hands. My wife, she my eye. She left. Cudjo finish. It was 2 o'clock, and Kozula excused himself that he might work on his fence before dark. Come see me when tain cold. 2 days later, I sat beside his fire in the windowless house and watched him smoke until he was ready to speak. I told him a story or two, and finally he glowed and stirred. It a man, you know. He got a son. 6 men, you understand, they follow him all the time. The long runny, the old man say, son, these men always in your house. You know what 6 men do to you? They don't do nothing to me. That what the son say. And always the 7 men be together till he get grown, and the time come for him to marry. The old man, he want to try these 6 men. So when the son marry, he hide the girl, and then he take a ram, and he kill it and cut off the horns. He fix it and make it look like the girl. Then he say to the boy, go tell your friends that you married a girl last night and she feel dead and I don't want the king to know. And dig a grave. He wants the friends to dig the grave and bury her. Perhaps she was too young and never had known no man. Well, the 6 men come to dig the grave, but only 2 stayed to finish dig, and 4 went spread the news clean till it reached to the king. The king then sent for the old man and said to him, your son just married a girl, where she? She at home, the old man say to the king. And he say, where your house? I wants to see. The king goes with him to the house, and he show him the girl. Then he say, well, what you bury in the hole? He say, the rammer. But the king wants satisfied, and he have to dig up the grave and let the king see the rammer hisself.
Then he tell the king how it is. I ask my boy about these six men, and he say they all right. All the time they sleep and eat and go with him, I won't know they friendship, so I kill the rama. The king say, you have knowledge. And so he paid the two what stay dig the grave and don't say nothing, and killed the four men what talk and betray they friend. The monkey and the camel. One day, I tell you this one, the usakudum weasel went up the melon tree to eat himself some fruit. The camel, he like melon all the time, so when he see the weasel in the tree, he go ask him, throw him some. The weasel throw him some, then he come down and go in his house. The camel, he still wanted some more melon, so he wait. After a while, the monkey, he go to the melon tree to get him some too. The camel, he hurry up under the tree and say to the monkey, give me some of the melons too. And the monkey throw him some. Then he ask the monkey to throw him more, and he eat of that. Then he ask for more and more till the monkey, he get tired. He want to come down from the tree and go home to dinner with his fruit. So he tell the camel he too greedy, and if he want more melon, let him climb the tree himself and get his some. That make the camel mad. So he say that the monkey is a very mouthy animal with an ugly red behind and very ugly nose. Now the monkey, he know that his nose is ugly, and he is very ashamed for the camel to speak about it. So he say that the camel is a creature with no hind quarters. The camel get it so mad at that, till he reach up the tree and grab the monkey and carry him off. Well, after he walk a while, he meet the rhinoceros and he ask, camel, how come you seize the monkey? The camel say, let him tell himself. The monkey, well, I was up the melon tree eating some fruit, and the camel come along and asked me throw him some. I did throw him some, and more and more. But when I was tired and want to go home, he says that I am a beast with ugly nostrils and sunken eyes. And I got very mad, say that the camel is a beast without a rump, and he done seized me and tote me off. The rhinoceros said that the monkey was wrong to speak at a camel so, and told him not to let him go. So the camel carried him on. After a while, they met the leopard and said, oh, camel, what make you seize the monkey? Is he done you wrong? Let him tell you hisself what he done. The monkey, well, I was up the melon tree eating some fruit, and the camel, he come up under the tree and asking me to throw him down some fruit. Well, I throw him some, then some more, till I get him very tired. Then I say, he is a lazy animal that worries other animals when they go to get fruit. Let him climb the melon tree himself. Then he say, I am a creature with no manners and a red behind. And I say that he is a beast with no behind at all, and not enough tail to hide the place where his behind ought to be. Then he grab me and bring me here. The leopard said that the monkey was wrong to speak thus of the camel, and that the camel must not let him go. So the camel carried him on. After a while, they come to the house of the weasel, and he was sitting outside the doorway. He seen the camel with the monkey, and he asked the camel, oh, camel, how come you seized the monkey? What he done wrong? The camel say, let him tell it himself. The monkey say, well, I was up the melon tree getting fruit for my wife. And the camel come under the tree and ask me to throw him down some fruit. I done throw him some, then more, till I was tired. And I said he was a greedy beast, whose rump looked like he'd been drinking canya, a powerful laxative. And he grabbed me
and bring me here.
Now, the weasel, he feels sorry for the monkey, and he know hisself that the camel is worrisome under the fruit tree. So he said a while, then he say, I will be the judge twixt you two, and they both say, all right, you be the judge first. The first thing he say, you, monkey, come sit here on my right side, and you, camel, sit here on my left, whilst I decide the question. They both done what he say, and he sat there quiet for a while. Then he opened his mouth. Oh, monkey, I sentence you for speaking so to the camel to leap up that tree whilst I run into my hole. And he done that, and the camel was left sitting where it was. After a while, he went away. Story of the Jonah. What you want me to talk, Jonah? Who and what kind of prophet is Jonah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. God speaking unto Jonah, go tell Nineveh to turn to me, cause they sins it come before me. Jonah say, no, I ain't going. Jonah say, well, being I here, he gonna torment me, I gonna get away from here. So he went there, you know, in the vessel ship to go to Joppa, that a country, you know, where God ain't gwine bother him. Listen, cause you'll say so, he didn't know it. God is everywhere. And so he went on to the ship to go to Joppa, and God looked at him. God see Jonah in the vessel, and so when he went to the vessel, God looked. Gesture of a penetrating look at him. He see the Jonah there. He see the Jonah there. So God went to the east and, gesturing of unlocking and flinging wide a door, unlocky the storm room, say to the storm, come out. Hand uplifted in a kingly commanding gesture, and the storm started. Then God went to the west, unlocky another storm room. Gesture. Come out. Come out of there. Then God went to the north, unlocky that storm room, tell it to come out. Then he went to the south, unlocky another storm room, and another storm in the south. All storms come meted together. All storms come meted together, and the vessel can go nowhere. Now, what did the captain say? That what I go tell you now. The captain say, that's not the first time I go travel in the sea. Something wrong. And the man say, captain, there's a man in the boat, and then he pay his fare. The captain say, whereabouts is he? They say, he way down in the bottom of the boat. He say, go tell him to come here. I go and tell you what the sailors say when they went down in the bottom of the boat. I go and tell you what they say to Jonah. They say, oh, sleeper, wake up from your sleep and call on your God, else we go perish in the sea. When he come to the captain on the deck, he say, who you? He, Jonah, say, I'm a Hebrew, done run away from God. Captain say, what must we do now, so the sea can become calm? He say, heave me overboard. The captain say, I ain't gwine do it till we draw the lot. We don't want to be guilty of your blood. They draw the lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. Looky here, God prepared a whale right alongside of the ship, with his mouth wide open. Gesture. When they throw him in, the whale took in, carried him to Nineveh 3 days and 3 nights. When he got to the Nineveh, he heave him on the shore. Ain't no shade in the seashore. So God suffered a gourd vine grow over he head for the shade. Jonah won't go to Nineveh. So God sended a worm and cut a gourd vine, slashing gesture, down, hand lifted straight up.
God said, Jonah, your name called. He say to him, go into Nineveh. And when he got there, he say 40 days and 40 nights, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the king say, this is the man of God. 3 days, 3 nights, the cows, the pigs, neither the mules, neither the chickens give him nothing to eat. Nobody eat, neither drink. So Jonah went to the mountain to see how it going to be overthrown. But instead of that, God blessed him. So then Jonah got mad. Say, Lord, didn't you tell me you going to destroy that city? God say, Jonah, there's 7,000 women and children in that city don't know right from wrong. If you think I go destroy them, you's crazy. How long Nineveh de bless he? I don't know. That the end right there. That's the fur I can go. Now this is Abraham, father of the faithful. He had nephew named Lot. Now that's right. Both of them kin folks. They have servant mind to stock what they raise. One day, they two servants, they were quarreling. Abraham say to the Lot, we two kin folks, these servant, they quarrel. Don't let it that break it the friendship. Now, that all right, that's enough. Now, which way you going? Lot say to the Abraham, I going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Where you going? Abraham say, I going to the land of Canaan. When they so much in sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, then the Lord, he took it 2 angels to pass Abraham's tent. Abraham seen them and want to bow to them. And then he went and get kid and dress him and set it before them to eat a dinner. When they get through eating, they start to Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angels say to the other, let's not hide our business from Abraham. Let's tell him where we going. So they say, Abraham, do you know we going to Sodom and Gomorrah to set it afire, go and burn the place down? So much sin went it before God that God going to burn the place out. No, Abraham say, if I find the 50 righteous, will you spare the city? The angel say, yes, for your sake. Abraham went to Sodom and Gomorrah and can't find the 50 righteous. If I find the 40 righteous, will you spare the place? They say, yeah, for your sake, we spare them. He fell back to 25 and couldn't find them. When he called for 10, the Lord won't listen. He flee away from him. Then the 2 angels go to Lot's house and tell him, now you leave here and don't look it back. When the people see the daughters of Zion come to Lot's house, they say to Lot, what is they doing there? Lot say, don't bother them. Then the angel pull Lot back and wave the hand, and all the people go blind. Then they say to Lot, you flee away from here just as quick as you can, and don't look it back. Lot's wife look it back and turn to a pillar of salt, and she be dead till judgment day. Poor cudgel. I no look it back. I press it forward. The Lion Woman. 3 men, they each have a lady. One say, if I live to marry a wife, when she have a son, he go get down on top of an elephant to ride. Another one say, if I live to have a wife, when she have a son, he go get down on top of a zebra for a ride. The third man, he say, if I live to marry this a girl I love, when she have a son, he go get down on top of a lion for a saddle horse. The people, they say, how he gonna do that? He can't do that because before he catch the lion catch him. He say, oh, no. Well, he married a girl and they have a son.
when they boy, he gets so he can run and throw the spear from the hand, you understand me? The man, he go in the woods and he found two young lions. But they mama, she gon' kill her something for them to eat. So he take it the two lions and kill it one and take it to hide and stretch it on the fence in the garden. The other one, you understand me, he chained by the neck to a tree. The mama lion, she come home, and she miss her babies, and she know the man take her children. She feel hurty, you understand me? Her breast swell way like this. She make up her mind she going punish the man for killing her babies. So she turn herself into a woman, and many men see her come into the village. She look very fat and handsome, and all the men want to marry her. She tote a purse here upon her hip. She say she will marry the man that throws something in the purse. Everybody, they chunking at the purse. They chunk and they chunk. Some throw too far. Some don't throw far enough. Nobody make it go in the purse. The man that catch the lions, he stand and looky, but he don't try chunky in the purse. He love his wife, and he don't want no more wife. She watch him, and she ask him, "Why you no try chunky in the purse? Don't you want me for your wife?" He say, "I don't want a chunk. I got a wife already." She say, "But I want you to chunk." She beg him, please, till after a while, just so he pick up something with his left hand, throw this away. But it went right in the purse. So she went home with him to his house. Soon she get in the house, she see the skin stretch on the garden fence, and see the other one chained to the tree, and she swell up inside her, and she wish for night to come. She wish it was night that minute. She lay in the bed with the man that night, but she ain't never go to sleep. He go sleep, but she wait to kill him. When she see he sleep, she turned back to a lion and got up walking in the house. The man, he got dogs, you understand me, and they know she a lion, and they know when she get up to kill him. Just when she go to him to tear him up, the dogs bark and say, "No, you don't, no, you don't, that's my master, and if and you kill him, you can't cross this yard. We kill you." She come back and lay down with the man and wake him up. She say, "Husband, I can't sleep. Your dogs make it so much noise to keep me awake. I think they going to come in the house and bite me. You better go chain them up." He get up and go chain the dogs like she say. Then he go back to sleep. She get up again, but the dogs hear, and they talk so loud she's scared he hear them. So she get back in the bed, and she think what she can do to kill him. In the morning, she say to him, "I can't stay with you, because your dogs, they won't let me sleep. I'm going home this morning. You going pieced away with me?" He say he go with her pieced away. He go get his hunting spear and his bow and arrow. But she say, "What for you take the spear? You mean to kill me on the way? You don't need no arrow neither." He tell her, he always take his spear when he go to the woods. But she cry and say she scared he gonna kill her. So he put down the weapons. Then he put on his hunting knife, but she make him take that off too. Then he take your whistle, you understand me, and put it in his shirt, and take your 9 eggs to eat on the way. Then he go on with her. On the way, they talk. She ask him, "If a lion jump on you, what you going to do?" He say, "I turn to a deer and run away fast." "Oh, but a lion overtake a deer. Then what you do?" "Then I turn to a snake and I go in the ground." "Oh, but the lion catch you before you dig the hole." "Well, then I turn." He start to say he turn to a bird and fly up in the tree. But the voice of his father come to him and say, "Hush." So he say, "I don't know what I do, dear." After a while, they come to a woods, and the woman excuse herself and go in the bush and stay a minute. Then a big lion come out and take right after the man. He think quick what he going to do, and he turn to a bird and fly up in the highest tree. The lion opened one side and took out 9 men with their axes, and opened the other side and take out 9 more, and then begin to chop it down the tree. The man, he blown the whistle, so his dogs hear him and come. The men, they chop hard at the tree. The lion, she walk round and round and roar what she gonna do when the tree fall. When the tree begin to fall, the man drop 1 egg, and the tree, it come back up again. He blow and blow for his dog, but they ain't heard him yet. He drop another egg when the tree commenced to fall next time, and he kept on till the last egg had gone. The tree began to shake again, but he blow and blow on his whistle. One young dog say to the other, "Well, that seems like master's whistle like here, don't you think so?" The old dog say, "Oh, lay down. You always hear something, so you can run in the woods." After a while, the young dog say he hears something again, but the old dog say, "No, be quiet." The tree is almost chopped down, and the lion stand on a hind leg so she grab him when he fall. The young dog say again, he hear the whistle, and the old dog say, "Wait, I believe I hear something too. Wait a minute." He listen. Then he say, "Hit. Is master's whistle. He in trouble too. Let me go in the house and put the eye medicine in the eye." He go in the house and put the medicine in his eye so that he can see clear across the world. He say, "I see master, and he in bad trouble. Let's go." They run to the tree faster than anything in the world and kill the lion and all the men. The man flew down from the tree and turn back to himself again. Then the man and the dogs take up all the meat and take it home and throw it in the yard. Then the man, he go in the house with his wife, but he don't tell her nothing, 'cause the old dog, he tell him that if he tell, he will die. When she look in the yard and see all the meat, she say to him, "Where you get all the meat?" And he say, "I've been hunting." But he don't tell her that the dogs done made baskets out of plum twigs and brung the meat home. They walk on their hind legs like a man and tote the baskets with their front legs. His wife say, "You never brung home all of that meat. No man can tote so much. It too much for one man. You tell me who brung that meat for you." All day she keep that up. Nighttime come and he won't go to bed. She say no, she not sleep with him never no more unless he tell her about the meat. So he tell her, and then she sleep with him. But the next morning, she say to the dogs, "Why don't you tell me you can tote meat like a man? Here I been had to wash your eating trough and tote your grub to you, and you plenty able to bring your plate and fetch your own grub." Then the man, he died, 'cause he told what the dog tell him not to. And the people make a great funeral for 3 days with him. His wife, she cry and cry, 'cause she make him die. But they go to bury him. But the old dog say, "No, wait till his father come. He gone away on a journey." So they wait 3 more days. And when the father come, he rub medicine on his eyes, and he woke him. And he live a long time after that. And his son get down on the line he brung home.
This is Robin Miles. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Barracoon, the story of the last black cargo by Zora Neale Hurston. Edited and with an introduction by Deborah G. Plant. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by the Zora Neale Hurston Trust. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.